Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I hope you all had a good Thanksgiving. I certainly did because the Cowboys won, so that was a fun game for me to watch. Actually, all three games were fun to watch yesterday, so let's get right into the three Thanksgiving Day games that we had. Beginning with the Buffalo at Detroit game, this actually was surprisingly a very close game. I pretty much expected the Buffalo Bills to run away with it, but Detroit just hung in there the entire time, and they actually almost got this win. I mean, it was back and forth, like, it was back and forth, especially for the second half. I mean, it looked like Buffalo was going to start to run away with it, kind of like in the second quarter. But then the second half of the game, Detroit just really never gave up. Now, the funny thing is Detroit lost in typical Detroit Lions fashion. They ended up taking the lead with only 24 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. So it's all Detroit fans are probably thinking to themselves, oh, holy shit, we got this win. Well, unfortunately for them, the Buffalo Bills were able to put together a very solid drive, very quick drive with 24 seconds left on the clock, and Josh Allen drove them down the field, and they were able to get in the field goal range and win the game 28-25. Josh Allen did have a pretty solid game. He went 24 for 42, 253 yards and two touchdowns. But if you turn over to the Detroit side of things, they had some guys playing very well yesterday also. Jared Goff went 23 for 37, 240 yards and two touchdowns. And then running back Jamal Williams had 66 yards and a touchdown. And he's actually been very solid the last couple of weeks. Actually, he's been very solid for them all season with DeAndre Swift, who's been injured for the majority of it. I mean, he's been in and out, and he played yesterday, but he just really hasn't been able to really get it going. But Jamal Williams, he's stepped right up, and he's just really he's just fitting in well. But like I said, in typical Detroit fashion, they lost this one, and Buffalo moves on and gets the win. Then the afternoon game was the New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. This actually started out pretty close, but then it went as I expected it to go. If you listen to the last show, I predicted that it was going to be a close game in the first half and that the Cowboys were going to start to run away with it in the second half, and that is exactly what happened. And I actually liked what I saw from the Cowboys because you always want to see if your team is able to make a comeback, especially against a division opponent, because the Cowboys were down at one point in this game, and even Dak Prescott, he did not start this game out good. He had two interceptions, and it looked like it was going to be one of those fucking games from him. But give it up to Dak. He is not weak-minded at all. He came in the second half, and he made no mistakes. CeeDee Lamb had an amazing game. It's just awesome to see him get better as the season rolls on because, you know, there was, of course, when we traded Amari Cooper, there were questions as to whether or not CeeDee Lamb was going to be able to take over the number one starting role. And then the first couple of weeks of the season, people were kind of doubting him, but he has really turned it on. He has made some amazing catches. All season, but especially these last couple of weeks, he's really been killing it. But it was just an all-around great game from the Cowboys. Defense did well. Offense did well. The two-headed monster at running back did great. So it was really nice to see. And the Giants just looked like crap in the second half. They weren't too bad in the first half. But even in the first half, even though they had the lead, it was more just the Cowboys getting their own way because, of course, they had all the stupid penalties. But luckily, they were able to overcome those. It would just be nice if they could actually not get in their way for once. But regardless, Cowboys ended up getting the win 28-20. Dak Prescott had a solid game, went 21 for 30, 261 yards and two touchdowns. And then Zeke Elliott, he was pretty much the feature back of the day. He had the bigger game over Pollard. Pollard was a factor, but he wasn't as effective as Zeke was. Zeke went for 92 yards and a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb had 106 receiving yards. Michael Gallup, that I would say yesterday was probably one of his big games. He made some really big catches that he needed to make. He had 63 yards, and then Dalton Schultz caught two of Dak's touchdowns. And it was actually a really big day for the tight ends. All three tight ends made big plays throughout the game. And it was just really an overall good win from the Cowboys. And just looking good. And I'm loving the season from the Cowboys, shockingly. So it was nice to see them get that nice, solid win against the stupid-ass Giants on Thanksgiving Day. And then rounding out the Thanksgiving games was the New England Patriots at the Minnesota Vikings. And this actually ended up being a close game from start to finish. I mean, both teams were just doing what they had to do to score more points. And it never really went either team's way. I mean, there was this one play that the Patriots are pretty upset about because it would have tied the game. But I don't think it was a catch. I mean, Hunter Henry, their tight end, he made a play. He catches the ball. And unfortunately, when he hits the ground, the ball kind of bounces up. And that's usually, they don't call that a catch. They've never called that a catch. So I don't think it was a catch. But regardless, that was really the only questionable play of the game. But other than that, I mean, it was back and forth all the way throughout. And Minnesota did get the win, 33-26. Kirk Cousins had a solid day. He went 30 for 37, 299 yards and three touchdowns. Justin Jefferson, he had a great game, 139 yards and a touchdown. But then over on the New England side, for once, they had a very solid offensive game, especially from Mac Jones. I would say this is probably Mac Jones' best game he's had, maybe his entire career, but definitely this season. He went 28 for 39, 382 yards and two touchdowns. And so I feel like that was why they were so competitive yesterday, just because he finally had a good game. I don't know how many more of those he's going to have, but good for him. They really showed out yesterday, but Minnesota ended up getting the win. All right, so let's get into the rest of the Week 12 games on Sunday, beginning with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Cleveland Browns. I did make a mistake on my recap of Week 11 last week because I thought last week was going to be Jacoby Brissett's last game. Turns out this is going to be Jacoby Brissett's last game. And then the Dick Dangler, Deshaun Watson, gets to start next week for the Browns. But this week it's back to Jacoby Brissett. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 3.5-point favorite, and I really don't expect much from Cleveland. They're really not they have no identity at all. Sometimes they're really good, and then sometimes they just play like shit, and I just kind of feel like that's going to be this game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're coming off of a bye week and also a good win over in Germany, so I just kind of feel like that's going to provide a spark for them. They had a lot of time to just sit and watch film, and I really honestly think the Buccaneers are going to demolish the Browns 41-10. Then the Cincinnati Bengals are at the Tennessee Titans. Right now the Bengals are a 1.5-point favorite. This one I feel like can go either way, just because both teams have their strong points, but they also have their weak points. You know, with the Bengals, their offensive line is just absolutely atrocious, but Joe Burrow has pretty much been able to overcome that for the most part this season. And their defense, not too bad. But the Titans, they have a really stout defense, and they have probably the best running back in the game with Derrick Henry. It's just outside of Derrick Henry, the offense is very, very vanilla. So if this turns into an offensive shootout, I would lean more towards the Bengals in this one. But I kind of have a feeling this is going to be a close game, and it's going to come down to probably like a really big defensive play, or maybe like a missed field goal at some point, or a missed extra point at some point, something weird like that. I'm leaning towards the Titans just because they're at home, and their defense, it could take care of business, and I have a feeling that's going to be an issue for Joe Burrow. And I have the Titans winning a close one, 21-20. Then the Houston Texans are at the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the Dolphins are an 11.5-point favorite. The Texans will have a new quarterback playing this week. They have sat Davis Mills for Kyle Allen. I don't think it matters who plays at quarterback because the Texans are just trash. I feel like the Texans at this point are just playing for the first pick in the draft next year. which it kind of feels like that's what they're always playing for. So typical Texan season. Dolphins, they're coming off of a bye week, so I just kind of feel like they're gonna come out rolling, and I really don't think this is going to be a close game at all. I feel like the Dolphins are going to win 31-14. Then the Chicago Bears are at the New York Jets. Right now, the Jets are a 3.5-point favorite. They did bench Zach Wilson for Mike White, so we'll see if that provides any type of spark for them offensively. Chicago, Justin Fields, he has been spectacular the last month. But unfortunately, he injured his non-throwing shoulder and he separated it. And it seems like it's pretty painful for him. He's a game-time decision right now. And if he was healthy, I actually probably would take the Bears in this one. But since he's not, I'm going to go with the Jets just because the Jets actually do have a really good defense. I kind of feel like they're just going to key in on the Chicago offense no matter who's going to be the quarterback. And I think they're going to make enough plays to get the win. I feel like this is going to be a very ugly game where it's just going to be maybe a bunch of field goals for the most part. But I think the Jets are going to get the win 17-14. Then the Atlanta Falcons are at the Washington Commanders. Right now, Washington's a 3.5-point favorite. I don't think either team's good at all, so this is just kind of shit on shit, so it should be a pretty decent game. I'm just leaning towards Washington just because they are slightly better and they're at home. I have Washington winning this one 20-13. Then the Denver Broncos are at the Carolina Panthers. Right now the Broncos are a 2.5-point favorite, but I'm actually leaning towards Carolina in this one because the Broncos are an awful team. They do have a great defense, but their offense is just trash. And they seem to get worse every week. Whereas the Panthers, they at least play with heart. And they've pretty much been in the majority of the games they've played this season. Whereas the Broncos, they've just, even the wins have been just awful for the Broncos. So I'm actually leaning towards the Panthers in this one. I think the Panthers are going to get the win 17-7, especially because on the defensive side of the ball, the Panthers are really good. And I feel like they're just going to give the Broncos fits on the offense. I feel like the defense is really going to take care of business. And the Panthers will just be, the offense will be set up in good field position because of the defense and get some good scores there. Then the Baltimore Ravens are at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Ravens are a 3.5-point favorite. I feel like the Ravens are going to come right out. And because of that, last week's game, while they did get the win, it was a barely win. And it just was an ugly-ass game from them. And I feel like they're going to bounce back this week and really turn it up offensively. Whereas the Jaguars, they look better. They're much improved. But you just can't believe in them at all. They haven't done anything to make you say, oh, yeah, this is a team that can actually compete with the Ravens. I don't think they have a shot against the Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to roll 28-17. Then the afternoon games, we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Chargers are a 2.5-point favorite. You really don't know what you're going to get from either team. I do believe in the Chargers more just because they are much more cohesive. They have the better quarterback. They have a better defense and they're just more put together. Whereas the Cardinals, they've just been in disarray since even before the season began. And I could just see that was coming, with everything that went on with Kyler Murray this offseason and the contract situation. You could just tell, still there's just a rift between everybody and Kyler Murray on this team. And, I don't know if he's playing this week. I think he's expected to play this week, but I don't think it matters. I think the Chargers are the better team. And I feel like they're going to score a lot more points and just have the overall better game. I think the Chargers are going to win 31-20. Then the Las Vegas Raiders are at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 3.5-point favorite. They are coming off of a bye week. And the Raiders, you just don't know what you're getting from this team. I don't really believe in the Seahawks that much. But they've been winning, and they're really good at home. They are coming off of a bad loss in Germany to the Buccaneers. Whereas the Raiders, they've just been getting their hearts ripped out every single week, and I feel like that's going to be the case this week as well. I feel like it's going to be a close back-and-forth game with Seattle just getting the better of the Raiders in this one. I think the Seahawks are going to win 21-20. Then the Los Angeles Rams are at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are a 13.5-point favorite. Matthew Stafford is not going to play for the Rams. And so, I mean, the Rams just continue to get decimated with injuries, but they weren't looking good even prior to these injuries. So I just feel like their season is in the trash can as it is, whereas the Chiefs are probably the best team in the league, if not the best team in the league. And I mean, Patrick Mahomes is just having an amazing season. So I really just kind of see this being a blowout by the Chiefs, 40-13. And then we have the New Orleans Saints at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the Niners are an 8.5-point favorite. New Orleans is just an up-and-down team. They really haven't found any type of identity at all. Who the hell knows who's going to play at starting quarterback for them, and who the hell cares because they're playing the 49ers, who are actually a good team. I feel like the 49ers defense is going to absolutely suffocate the New Orleans Saints offense, who are prone for turnovers, which in turn is either the Niners are going to score on those turnovers or they're going to set their potent offense up in good field position and they're just going to get easy scores. So I have the 49ers rolling over the Saints 31-17. And then the Sunday night football game is the Green Bay Packers at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are a 6.5-point favorite. And I've pretty much given up all hope on the Packers. I feel like the only time I may take them in any other game this season is if they're playing a mediocre team. Other than that, I don't believe them. I believe in them against good teams. And the Eagles are a good team. And they're also at home, and they're just a potent offensively. I really don't see the Packers' defense being able to stop their ground attack. And I also don't believe the Green Bay Packers offense is going to be able to keep up with them on the offensive side of the ball. So I feel like it's going to be a close game, but I think the Eagles are going to get the win 23-20. And then we did have a little bit of NBA news this week, which I just found really amusing because at the beginning of the season, everybody was all on the Los Angeles Clippers dick, acting like this team was a legit, not just playoff contender, but a legit championship contender. And that was just laughable to me because, number one, we did not know if Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were going to be able to make it through an entire season. Oh, yeah, throw John Wall in there, too, since all three of them are all injury-prone, especially over the last few seasons, and you never know what you're going to get from them. All good players, but you just never know what you're going to get. Plus, the Clippers suck, so we should not ever be picking them to win shit until they actually prove they're worth shit. And so far, they're having a very mediocre season, just like my crappy-ass Lakers. Not a good time to be a basketball fan in the Los Angeles area at all right now. But it was announced, I believe yesterday, the day before, that both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are both out indefinitely right now with injuries. So we don't know when we'll see the two of them back on the court. But how about them Clippers? They're just running away with this NBA season, aren't they? No, they are not. And then also, so we're going to end today's show with the top five list. And I thought it would be fun to do a top five list because I mentioned Deion Sanders in the my last show, just praising him for what he's done with Jackson State University as the football coach there. I decided it would be a great time to do a top five list on Deion Sanders. The top five Deion Sanders primetime plays is what I'm going to call that. Because as I've mentioned before, if you did not get to see the great career that was Deion Sanders, I feel sorry for you because you missed so much. And then especially after I did some research and just reliving some of these moments that he had, God, that dude was just something else for damn sure. So, let me give you a little bit of career highlights for Deion Sanders before we get into it. He played 14 seasons in the NFL, but he also played 9 seasons in Major League Baseball. Yeah, homeboy, he played both football and baseball at the same time. Only he and Bo Jackson did that. Both amazing athletes. I don't think you can actually see that now, especially just kind of the way contracts are set up, and they really just don't leagues just really, they spend a lot of money on you, and so they kind of tell you things you can and cannot do in your contracts. And so I have a feeling that it's just impossible for a player to do that ever again, just because I'm sure agents and owners and everybody has kind of colluded with each other to make sure this no longer happens. Because when it did happen, fans loved to see Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders be do two sports at once and do them at the same, because, you know, football and baseball overlap with each other at certain points. And so it's fun to see that. I think it was awesome. But of course, you know, owners and managers and coaches and just there's other people on the outside who don't really care for it. So I'm sure they've put in many placeholders, so it just no longer can happen anymore. But it would be nice to see it again. But anyways, so he did that. He did primarily in the in football. He played for, he was drafted by the Falcons. Then he went to play for the 49ers. Then he played for my Dallas Cowboys. Then he played for the Washington Redskins. And then he played for the Baltimore Ravens as well. And then in baseball, he played for quite a few teams, but he's most known for playing for the Atlanta Braves. Also, he was drafted by the Yankees. He's known for being a Yankee as well. He did win two Super Bowls. He's actually the only player ever to be in a Super Bowl and a World Series. He unfortunately did not win the World Series with the Braves, but they did go to the World Series that year. His career stats in football, he is has 54 interceptions, 22 touchdowns, and with his touchdowns, they're split up in between interceptions, fumbles, punt returns, kick returns. As a matter of fact, Deion Sanders is one of two players ever in NFL history to score touchdowns in six different ways. That be by interceptions, fumbles, punt returns, kick returns, receiving, and rushing. So Deion Sanders literally has done it all. That's why he was so fucking fun to watch, because he wasn't that dude who would just be a really good defender and then possibly be okay at punt return. No, Deion Sanders was a straight up threat at every fucking position he would come in at, even as a wide receiver. He didn't play wide receiver that often, but when he came in the game, you knew you had to watch primetime, because motherfucker would get open, and if he caught that ball, he was gone. He made so many big plays, especially when he was a Cowboy. I loved when he was a Cowboy. Of course, I loved when he was a Cowboy, but he made so many big plays, and it was just amazing to watch him. And then also in the NFL, he was a six-time All-Pro. So that just says a lot. And then in his Major League Baseball career, his career stats are batting average .263, 39 home runs, 168 RBI, and 186 stolen bases. So he was just one of the most athletic athletes we've ever had in sports. So as I've mentioned, I feel bad for you if you did not get to witness the greatness that was Deion Sanders. But if you haven't witnessed the greatness that was Deion Sanders, I'm going to give you five amazing moments from him. But also, you should just go watch highlights, because the dude, there's nothing like him. There was nothing like him before he hit the league, and there's nothing like him to this day that's ever played football. You just don't know what you were missing if you did not get to witness the greatness that was Deion Sanders. And I, luckily, got to see him in a Dallas Cowboys uniform. I loved him when he was even when he played for the 49ers, and even when he played for the Redskins, I loved watching Deion Sanders play. So it didn't matter who he was playing for, what he was doing. Loved Deion Sanders. And so let's get to the top five Deion Sanders primetime plays, beginning with number five. And that was on October 11th, 1992. That was the day Deion Sanders played in a football game and then had all intentions of playing in a baseball game that second day. I'm sorry, but that same day. But unfortunately, the manager did not play him at all in that game. But he had all intentions of playing in both of those games. So he started the day off in Miami, because at this time he was playing with the Atlanta Falcons, and then he was with the Atlanta Braves baseball team. So the Falcons are in Miami playing Miami. And then after that game, he flies to Pittsburgh for a playoff game with the Atlanta Braves versus the Pittsburgh Pirates. As I said, he did not get to play in that game. But that is the year that the Braves would go on to the World Series and unfortunately lose the World Series. But I put that on there just because in this day and age, that would never happen. Even if we had a dual sport player, I feel like that just would not be allowed by all the powers that be. So just the fact that it's happened before is worth mentioning, but I feel like Deion Sanders, it would have been interesting to see him play that baseball game, because who knows if he would have been able to physically, but it would have been just cool just to hear if he ended up being a factor. Now, unfortunately, that night the Braves got their asses beat, I think like 7-1 against the Pirates. So who knows if he would have even been a factor, but maybe he would have. But still, regardless, it's still cool. And it's unheard of. And I had to put that in the top five just to mention that a dude is a dual sport athlete. And he had all intentions of playing both sports on the same exact fucking day. That's called dedication, y'all. Then at number four on my top five Deion Sanders primetime plays, September 25th, 1994. This was when he played for the San Francisco 49ers. This was the San Francisco 49ers versus the New Orleans Saints. One thing to note with Deion Sanders, he had 9 interceptions returned for a touchdown. And all 9 of those were in the fourth quarter. And they were long distance ones, like this one that he had against the New Orleans Saints was a 74-yard interception for a touchdown. So, like, he just made the big play in the moments that mattered. Not only did he make the plays all the time, but when he needed to step it up and be that dude, he was that dude. And he was this day for the San Francisco 49ers. They would end up winning this game 24-13, but he made this huge 74-yard interception, and it was a typical Deion Sanders interception where he's just bumping and dodging dudes, and just, you can't believe that he gets a touchdown out of this, because most dudes would just, they would have been tackled, but because it's Deion Sanders and he was so shifty and you couldn't catch him, it was a touchdown, and it's a beautiful interception. You should go take a look at it. That's number four. Then number three on my top five Deion Sanders primetime plays, September 10th, 1989. This was when he played for the Atlanta Falcons. This was the Atlanta Falcons versus the Los Angeles Rams. And it was his first career punt return for a 68-yard touchdown, because that was us getting the preview of what's to come of the greatness of Deion Sanders. Because this was not an easy punt return, by the way. So here comes the ball right at Deion Sanders. He fumbles it. Most of the time, that fucks everybody up. Not Deion Sanders. Picks up the ball, literally is like gang mobbed by like 2-3 guys, shakes them off, starts running around, and then he shakes off a couple more motherfuckers like he's Taylor Swift, and then just boom, boom, pow, zig, zag, boom, bow. Deion Sanders, punt return for a touchdown on his very first career punt return, and it was the beginning of the greatness that was Deion Sanders. And if you look it up and go watch it, that is just the perfect showing of what Deion Sanders was in his entire career. So that was fun to watch. Then at number two on my top five Deion Sanders primetime plays, October 17th, 1994. This was also when he played for the San Francisco 49ers. But this time it was the San Francisco 49ers versus the Atlanta Falcons. That's right, his old team, the Atlanta Falcons. Now, if you don't recall, when Deion Sanders' time came to an end with the Atlanta Falcons, it was not a good end. As a matter of fact, the Falcons franchise talked a whole lot of shit towards Deion Sanders, especially when he was, you know, they would do it through the media, and a lot of their players would. And you might remember this one wide receiver who played for the Falcons named Andre Rison. Now, he was a bad motherfucker. As a matter of fact, his nickname was Andre Bad Moon Rison, because he was that dude. He was awesome. Also, you'll remember with Andre Rison, he at one point dated Left Eye from TLC. Yes, the awesome group that was TLC, also RIP to Left Eye. But they dated at one point and had a very tumultuous relationship in which one night she actually burned his house down. So you might remember Andre Rison for that as well. I remember him for all of those things, being a great football player and also getting his house burned down by Left Eye. Sounds like they had an excellent relationship there. But anyways, back to this game. So Andre Rison and Deion Sanders were talking a lot of shit leading up to this game. And as they should, because these are two of the best players in the game as well. So the game starts, and Andre Rison's pretty much fucking with Deion Sanders the whole game. And Deion's had enough of it. And the two of them, at one point, they start slap boxing the shit out of each other. Like, if they weren't wearing helmets, they'd be throwing bows. They were just going at it. And at one point, of course, the refs did get involved. And now this was back in 1994 when they actually, like, let you play. If this was today's game, both dudes would have been ejected immediately and they would have got huge penalties against them and everything. But these guys, they did get penalties called against them, but they did not get removed from the game. As a matter of fact, this shit just fueled Deion Sanders. And now the Niners did win 42-3. So it wasn't even a close game at all at any point. It was more just interesting to see Deion Sanders and Andre Rison just battle each other all game and just push each other and get pissed off at each other. And it was just super fun to watch. But there's this one point in the game where Deion Sanders intercepts the ball and has a 93-yard interception return for a touchdown. And this was the reason why Deion Sanders has the nickname Primetime is because of his dance, his end zone dance. He used to do this beautiful high step, or he'd do this thing where he'd put his hand behind his head and just kind of like, yeah, look at me, bitches, as he's trolling into the end zone. Travis Kelce, actually, this past week, he did a shout-out to that when he scored a touchdown. But this was the ultimate prime time Deion Sanders, because as soon as he caught that ball, it was gone. It was daylight. And he's right up, running up against the sideline. And whose sideline is he running up against? The Atlanta Falcons sideline. And he's just looking at each and every one of them as he runs by them for this touchdown. He's high-stepping at about like the 50-yard line too. I mean, he is just going, and he gets his nice little dance in on the end zone, and it was a beautiful sight to see. One of my favorite Deion Sanders moments of all time, but just because it's his old team, and when you see him running up on the sideline, just staring them all down with the ball in his hand, and everybody knows this is a touchdown, it's just sweet and beautiful, and I fucking love it. But it could not beat number one on my top five Deion Sanders primetime plays. Now, if you notice, none of these were Cowboys moments, but number one, of course, has to be a Cowboys moment. Now, you would think I'm biased because it's Cowboys. Nah. This is what is referred to as the greatest game by Deion Sanders of all time, because Deion Sanders single-handedly dominated this game on each and every phase of the game. Let's take you back to September 21st, 1998. It was the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants. The Dallas Cowboys absolutely annihilated the New York Giants 31-7. By the way, this game, Troy Aikman wasn't even starting. He was injured. I imagine he had one of his 955 concussions. Oh, by the way, still doing fine. He hosts Monday Night Football and has been hosting announcing games for 20 years now. But, concussions, the most horrible thing of all time. But I digress. But we had that stupid loser Jason Garrett as our quarterback in this game. But, hey, I mean, this just goes to show how much Deion Sanders dominated this game, all right? So, he starts off this game with a 59-yard punt return for a touchdown, and it was a beautiful punt return. I mean, it was just, like I said, typical Deion Sanders shaking people off, just zigzagging, and then boom, boom, pow, gets us the touchdown, and this is what really opened up the game. The first quarter was very quiet, but then the second quarter hit, and boom, that's where it started. So it's a pretty solid game here from the Cowboys. So then at one point, Deion Sanders comes in on the offensive side of the ball as a wide receiver and makes a huge 55-yard reception from Jason Garrett, which sets us up in scoring position in the red zone. And I believe Sherman Williams was the running back, if I seem to recall. And he actually ran in and ran in the touchdown and would score on that possession. So Deion Sanders helped us score on that possession. But then he also, on the defensive side of the ball, so you see he scored a touchdown on a punt return, which is special teams. Then he comes in and makes a huge play on the offensive side of the ball at wide receiver with the 55-yard reception. Now let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. Now at this point in time of the game, because this was, I believe, in the fourth quarter, we had already ran away with this game, if you will. But, Deion needed to put the cherry on the cake on this game, you know, especially for him, because this was it. He had a 71-yard interception return for a touchdown. And once again, it was in beautiful, I mean, it was 71 yards, but it was in beautiful Deion Sanders fashion. Dude's hanging off of him, shakes him off, zigzagging his way, and then high steps his way to the fucking end zone. It was just a beautiful game. And really, it is a legendary game. This is why I loved Deion Sanders and why a lot of us loved Deion Sanders. Because anybody who got to witness the greatness that was Deion Sanders, and you're listening to this, I'm sure you're saying the same thing with me, that this guy was amazing to watch, and we don't have anybody who even touches what this guy did. So that game from him, especially because it was against the Giants, he was in a Dallas Cowboys uniform, just fucking fantastic. Just loved every second of it and loved every second of his career. And as I mentioned on the previous episode, I hope to see him continue to succeed as a coach. And who knows where it's going to end up. But so far, the greatness that is Deion Sanders has it started at Florida State. He was great at Florida State. Then he became a pro in the NFL, had a great career there, would have a great MLB career as well. He was great when he did color commentating, he did the morning shows, I think, for CBS. That's right, he was great then, and then now he's just making his name as a coach. So it's just great to see. Shout out to Deion Sanders for all the amazing memories. And like I said, if you have not seen any of these plays, or if you just have not seen anything on Deion Sanders, do yourself a favor. There's plenty of YouTube channels that have a bunch of highlights of his where they'll compile them, and it's a fun watch because, like I said, there ain't nobody in today's game who is like the greatness that was prime time Deion Sanders. All right, y'all, enjoy the great weekend of sports that we have going on. Oh, wow, right now I do have the Longhorns game on, but it was not going very well. As a matter of fact, I really question whether or not Quinn Ewers is a decent quarterback, because that dude has been trash this second half of the season. But and it has not continued today, but I guess I missed. Oh, no. Well, now Baylor just scored another touchdown, because it was 25-24 Baylor, but now Baylor just scored another touchdown, and looks like we're going to lose to the Rapists of Baylor. So, yeah, cool. Well, anyways, enjoy the rest of the weekend of sports, fools, and I will see y'all on Monday.